I can't recall ever having had an untroubled childhood. I grew up in a well-to-do household. My father was a lawyer, here in Munich at the Bavaria Ring. I was about 4 years old when I first heard the word Jew, and I sensed the exclusion it implied. One fine summer afternoon, like almost every day, I wanted to go and play in a fenced-off yard over the way. I tried to open the gate, but it didn't move. I shook it again and again. In vain, the gate was locked. My friends, who were already in the yard, watched in silence. Then the caretaker came, a woman, and said, "Go home. Jewish children aren't allowed to play here." I burst into tears and ran to my grandmother, wanting to know why Jewish children couldn't play there. She explained that from now on, we would have to act differently, because for the majority of people in Germany, we were different. This sense of differentness has accompanied me all my life. Another childhood memory is of tall men in leather jackets. Right next door to our apartment was a local branch office of the NSDAP. My father drummed it into me that I was to switch sidewalks when they came. We were already living outside of society then. The local branch leaders' visits, which always took place at 5 or 6 a.m., were also really bad. Once he even hit me when I said my father wasn't at home. But far worse than this was the way they rang at the door. Each time he came with his men, they leant against the doorbell and let you know they were there. Even today, when someone rings unexpectedly at my door in the night, I immediately have the urge to run away. On November 9, 1938, my father received a call saying he should avoid both his office and the apartment. We took to the street. The Gestapo arrived at our apartment and left again, having achieved nothing. My father called his own office at Stachus from a phone booth anonymously, and a man's voice informed him that Herr Neuland was not there, but was expected. We knew we were in great danger. But I was a child, and I had no idea why I had to put on a coat quickly and leave our apartment. As we went, my father explained that something was happening against the Jews. I saw the Uhlfelder department store and the Ohel Jakob synagogue on fire. I cried and asked my father why the fire department wasn't there. At Sendlinger Tor, we saw a good friend of the family, Grandpa Rothschild, being led away by the Gestapo with a blood-stained bandage round his head and then being kicked into a car. That night, we walked 20 kilometers to Gauting, where we found shelter with friends. My father took side streets because the big roads were being checked. Now and then we sat down on a bench. Next day, we stayed with some friends until the worst of the terror had passed. But we knew we were in danger. My father knew what was happening in Dachau. The place in downtown Munich, where the Gestapo headquarters once stood, is still a nightmare for me. Today, the new Bavarian Regional Bank building stands on the site. It was clear that November 9th was only the prelude to something far worse. As my father explained to me after 1945, the Nazis used the pogrom night to test the population and see how far they could go with persecuting the Jews. And since it elicited no resistance, a direct path was opened to Auschwitz. The only guarantee for survival was to emigrate. In 1942, my grandmother and I were on the deportation list. My father and I took the train to somewhere in central Franconia. To avoid recognition, neither of us wore the yellow star, and we had no papers with us, since they all bore a big J. My father said to me, "If you see suspicious-looking men on the platform," the Gestapo always wore civilian clothing, "get out quick and wait for me on the platform." Luckily, the train was not checked. Then I walked for 2.5 hours to a little farming village. There I was taken in by my uncle's former housekeeper, a very pious woman, a strict Catholic. She spread word in the village that I was her illegitimate daughter. which meant disgrace for her. I stayed with her. I knew my life was at stake. I stayed until the village was liberated by the Americans in 1945. Later, I discovered why the woman had taken me in. She had two brothers in the armed forces. One was in Russia, the other in Africa. She thought that if she did something good, her brothers would return. And in fact, they did. I returned to Munich because I had heard that my father was still alive. I was registered as a displaced person. Actually, I wanted to get away as quickly as possible. I wanted to emigrate to America. But then I met my future husband, who had survived all the concentration camps, and then I became pregnant. Although I received permission to emigrate to Missouri, we stayed here. I didn't think too much about the people of Munich, since I intended to emigrate. But there were some bizarre scenes when denazification began. For instance, the caretaker who had not allowed me to play in the yard, she, of all people, wanted a statement from my father that would make denazification easier for her.